Welcome to Toolkit for the Mind, Volume 3, Managing Stress, Controlling Your Mental Environment. In Inner Balance, The Power of Healing, Dr. Hans Selye, one of the great researchers and writers on the mechanism of stress, writes, "Stress is inherent in all forms of animate and inanimate activity. Therefore, it could not and should not be avoided. For complete freedom from stress is death. Stress can be both good and bad. When a surgeon operates on a patient, the doctor's pulse often hovers around 120 beats per minute. That's a positive sign the surgeon is in the correct frame of mind and attitude for peak performance. Stress can be good. Stress can also bring about illness, loss, worry, fear, and even death. Stress can be bad. In fact, stress can be very, very bad. Research shows that nearly 50% of all adults suffer the adverse health effects of stress, and that 75% of all physician office visits are for stress-related ailments and complaints. Furthermore, stress is linked to 6 leading causes of death: heart disease, accidents, cirrhosis of the liver, lung ailments, cancer, and suicide. It is hard to believe that something as ominous and destructive as stress is not only necessary, but even desirable. Negative stress destroys our health. It can kill our creativity, our productivity, and cost us financially. But without stress, there would be no challenge or excitement. Moving to a new home, getting married, giving birth to a child, or completing a major project creates as much stress as does the tragedy of death and losing a home. Stress is a strange phenomenon and can be very confusing. Therefore, the topic of stress is surrounded by many myths. Let's dispel a few of them and, in the process, give you some insight into yourself. Here is what I consider to be one of the major keys to taming the dark side of stress. When you know and understand yourself, you are capable of seeing the world differently. When you see the world differently, you can change your perception of the so-called stressor and reduce or eliminate the toll of distress. Myth number one: stress is always emotional. Untrue. Stressors can be divided into 2 broad categories: physical and emotional. These categories can often overlap. Physical stressors can include suffering from the trauma of an accident, poisons or near poisons like alcohol, nicotine, caffeine, or social drugs. It includes physical elements such as extremes in temperature, radiation from sunlight, X-rays, nuclear radiation, pollution, electroshock and electricity, compression or decompression, bacteria, burns, viruses, crowding, isolation, and muscular exertion. Physical stressors also include occupations such as an air traffic controller or a physician, as well as unemployment, retirement, accidents, sex, age, genetics, race, dietary factors, and many, many more. The category of emotional stressors include anxiety, fear, hate, pain, grief, loss, anticipation, pleasure, worry, boredom, and loss of sleep. Myth number two: stress affects everyone in the same way. Absolutely not true. In fact, stress affects everyone differently. What is stressful for me may or may not be stressful for you. Each of us responds to stress in an entirely different way. This difference in our individual response is what is fascinating about the subject of stress. Some people are like bulls when it comes to stress. On the surface, it appears they can take anything thrown at them without getting sick or breaking down. Other people are like butterflies. They seem to fall apart under the least little bit of pressure. Whether you are a bull or a butterfly depends on several factors: your genetics or your physical constitution, how well you take care of yourself, and your resources for coping with stress. If you are genetically built to cope with stress, you can do yourself in by not eating healthy, not getting enough sleep, abusing stimulants, not taking time to relax, never exercising, or not using your coping resources. Perhaps you can't do much about your genetics, but whether you're a bull or a butterfly, there's a lot you can do to toughen yourself up against stress and maximize your resistance. You can learn to manage time and set goals, as I will discuss in Toolkit for the Mind, Volume 4, Setting Goals and Getting Motivated. You can craft a powerful vision to give meaning to your life and assist in adapting to change. You can develop good health habits, as well as develop and use social, family, financial, personal, and spiritual resources for coping with stress more effectively. And most important of all, you can learn to see the world differently. Here's something to think about. Your ability to cope with an external event does not have as much to do with the event as it does with the way you interpret the event. In Turning Your Stress into Strength, R. H. Schuller writes, "It is not what happens to you in life that makes the difference. It is how you react to each circumstance you encounter that determines the result. Every human being, given the same situation, has the possibilities of choosing how he or she will react either positively or negatively." Dr. O. Carl Simonton and his wife Stephanie Matthew Simonton write in their powerful book, Getting Well Again, "It is significant that the amount of emotional stress caused by external events depends on how the individual interprets or copes with that event. Stress is a matter of perception, and our perceptions are predetermined by our conditioning. Our stress response is greatly influenced by a number of factors, including age, genes, nervous stimuli, our nutritional state, and our previous exposure to stress. The most important factor is how each individual perceives or interprets a given situation based on expectations, needs, desires, aspiration, and past experiences. Therefore, the stress resulting from any situation will be determined, for the most part, by how the individual interprets it. The person's fears, frustrations, and anxieties color the interpretation of any event. Let me give you a personal example: getting stuck in traffic. For many years, my response was automatic. I would get terribly frustrated and eventually angry. Underneath my anger was a fear of being late for a flight or an appointment or a social engagement. I would start to worry, visualizing the worst-case scenario. In reality, I almost always made it, but by the time I got there, I was either crazed or exhausted, not good for the body or the spirit. After years of self-inflicted negative stress, I finally learned a few lessons which changed my perception, or by changing my perception, I learned a few lessons. Regardless, 99% of the time I'm able to alter my mindset of getting overwhelmed if I'm stuck in traffic. What made the difference? I suddenly realized I was stressing myself by imagining negative outcomes. I had a choice. I could experience distress, or, knowing there was nothing I could do, totally accept the situation and let go. I could honk my horn and yell at the fates, or I could play Jimmy Buffett music, listen to the news or inspirational tapes, or I could just think. That can be very nice. And I learned to leave just a little more time than I had in the past. Hans Selye relates a fascinating story which illustrates the power of changing perceptions. Two young boys were raised by an alcoholic father. As they grew older, they moved away from that broken home, each going his own way in the world. Several years later, They happened to be interviewed separately by a psychologist who was analyzing the effects of drunkenness on children in broken homes. His research revealed that the two men were strikingly different from each other. One was a clean living teetotaler, the other a hopeless drunk like his father. The psychologist asked each of them why he developed the way he did, and each gave an identical answer. What else would you expect when you have had a father like mine? Myth number 3. If I have no symptoms, I have no stress. Don't fool yourself. Just because you have no symptoms does not mean that you don't have negative stress. People often mask the symptoms of headaches and stomach upset with medication. The medication disguises the warning signals your body is sending. These signals are meant to alert you to reduce the strain on your physiological and your psychological systems. There are no minor symptoms. What you may consider minor are your early warning signals that your life is getting out of control and that you need to pay attention and manage your stress. Myth number 4. Stress is everywhere. I can't escape it, and I can't do anything about it. Not so. You have far more control than you believe. In order to understand how much control you really do have, you must keep in mind that you are dealing with perceptions, the way you hold your thoughts, your pictures, and images. If I ask you, what do you plan to do for the rest of your life? It puts a lot more pressure on you than if I ask, what do you plan for the next hour or the rest of the day? The way you hold events in your mind often results in self-inflicted stress that manifests in worry, frustration, and disappointment. Look at the baby steps you must take to achieve a desired outcome, not the mountain that you have to climb. Pretend, for a moment, that it is only humanly possible to accomplish 20 goals in a day. Because you're not aware of that fact, you plan a to-do list with 30 goals. So you plow furiously forward, and you fall into a trap you didn't even realize you had set up for yourself. Given this example, no matter how many goals you do accomplish, you feel like a failure and berate yourself for not meeting your commitment. You unconsciously chop away at your self-esteem. By viewing yourself as a failure for not accomplishing your tasks, you bring on a tremendous negative stress. Because you believe tenacity is a virtue, you try harder the next day, and the next, and the next. But you can't win. The stress mounts. You are incapable of giving yourself credit for what you do accomplish because your faulty perception only allows you to see what you haven't accomplished. Your perception about what you should be able to do is faulty. Your perception is flawed. Take that example to the next level. Imagine how much negative stress you incur by trying to control the world, other people, schedules, jobs, to fit into your model of how you believe things should be and how people should act. So here are a few tips to help you reduce your negative stress. Tip number 1, focus on what you do accomplish instead of focusing on what you don't accomplish. First, you have to step back and have the courage to look at how things really are. Having the courage to look at the truth of how you view the world is in no way meant to diminish your motivation. Quite the opposite. You want to feel motivated in a way that gives you the optimal amount of stress or eustress. You want to feel good about what you've accomplished and allow your positive actions to build momentum. To do this requires a switch in your mindset. Stop comparing what you do accomplish to an unrealistic, ideal picture of what you believe you should accomplish. Instead, set realistic goals. Acknowledge what you feel, reward, and celebrate what you do accomplish. Celebration of any kind, treating yourself to a movie, having a cup of tea, or taking a vacation. It builds positive reinforcement and focuses you on your successes. You will be absolutely amazed at your productivity when you reward success. Tip number two, plan what you can plan to eliminate negative stress. You can plan your life so as not to be overwhelmed with stress. Learning to prioritize is the first step. Set your priorities. Do the simple tasks or solve the simple problems first and move on to the more difficult. Or you may want to do the more difficult and then move on to the more simplistic. You want to put yourself in a positive frame of mind and build up momentum. If you fail to prioritize, all problems seem equal, and stress seems to be present everywhere you look. My wife is superb at eliminating stress. She's a great model. Being a journalist and a movie critic requires her to not only see all the films that come out, but to write reviews of the movies and articles on the celebrities. She writes 7 days a week when she's at her peak work period. She gets up early in the morning and writes sometimes until early evening. But when she plays, she really plays, guilt-free. Like a good student, she gets her work done first. I, on the other hand, am still learning. I love to play, to be outside, to see movies, to visit friends. Far too often, I put off doing work until the last minute. The problem is that even in my playtime, I have a sense of guilt for not working. But I'm getting better. To have fun, guilt-free, is a lot more enjoyable than having the weight of work and guilt lurking at the back of your mind. Ben Franklin had a very simple and very effective system to handle stress. He divided a piece of paper in half with a vertical line. On one side of the paper, he listed all the things that troubled him. He listed little irritations as well as big problems. He went through the list and crossed out everything he could not change or do anything about. Circling the remaining problems or irritations and annoyances, he listed on the other side of the page a simple action he could take to relieve the annoyance. Now, that is a stress reducer. Taking action often is. Tip number three. Learn to challenge your perception of what you think is true. There are many techniques you can use to manage stress. But first, you must learn to challenge your perceptions of how you believe life should be lived, what the world should give you, what people should do for you, and what you should be able to accomplish. Many people have the misguided perception that others can be made to believe the way we want, from being more concerned or sensitive to putting the toilet paper on correctly, from having good manners to being more forthcoming, from giving us things to doing our bidding. Guilt, manipulation, intimidation, or force is often used to get people to conform to the way we believe they should act. The results are short-term and last only as long as pressure is exerted. Stress. You cannot make anyone do anything. People won't change just because you want them to or because you think they would be happier or healthier. They will only change because they are motivated to change. You do whatever you want to do in life because you get a payoff. If you get a payoff, you keep doing what you're doing. If you don't, you stop. It matters little if the payoff is positive or negative. All people are the same. You can influence, but you can't control no matter how much you stomp your foot or how loud you yell. If you want to reduce your stress, stop trying to control everybody and everything. Focus instead on what actions you can take. Tip number four, communicate clearly at all times. If you want to reduce stress, learn to communicate clearly at all times. Your communication reflects your behavior. Your behavior is often the cause of your stress. If you are too submissive and don't ask for what you want, you don't get what you want. Stress. If you are too aggressive, you trigger anger and hostility in others and don't get what you want. Stress. We often expect people to know what we're thinking and feeling without communicating effectively. We expect people to know our desires without expressing them. We expect people to know how we feel when we don't tell them. In our own self-involvement, we don't listen to the needs of others and have no clue to what's going on with them. Your behavior is the major aspect of your life that you can control. Communicate clearly. Tip number 5, learn to manage change. Robert Kennedy said, "Some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream things that never were and say, why not?" Change creates stress, and in the world today, it is of utmost importance that each and every one of us has insight into both understanding change and have the tools to cope with change. It will make us better parents, friends, and managers. Research has shown the people who handle change in a positive, proactive way have 3 characteristics in common. Number 1, they are challenged by change. They feel stimulated by change and by stress. 2, they have a sense of control. They believe they can influence events around them. And 3, they are committed to and intensely involved in what they are doing. Once again, we come back to perspective on how you see the world. George Bernard Shaw once said, "The people who get on in this world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want, and, if they can't find them, make them." The ability to persevere and believe you can affect your circumstance gives you a sense of control. You can choose to view change as a positive challenge. Our inner primitive mechanism often manipulates us to view the change as a threat. We fight it because we're afraid of losing something we care about, something familiar that seems more comfortable and less threatening than something new. If you grew up in an unsettled environment where love, routine, and discipline weren't predictable, you will probably resist change and handle it less effectively than someone who grew up in a more stable environment. The more secure you were as a child, the more you can risk change as an adult. Part of learning to manage change is to understand the trigger of fight or flight. The human nervous system is a product of millions of years of evolution. Our early survival depended on our ability to immediately identify a threat and respond to it by fighting or fleeing. But today, fighting or fleeing has severe consequences. If a policeman stops you, you can't flee. If a stranger bumps into you or insults you, best not get into a fight. The problem is that we often act as if these outside events were threatening to our very survival. Our brain interprets the event as danger, and our body reacts by secreting the chemicals necessary to fight or flee. We can't, and hopefully we don't, react in a way that is embarrassing or inappropriate. But the body is left holding all that stress. It can easily accumulate and build up, and we develop what's called chronic stress. If we develop chronic stress, we lower our immune system and open ourselves up to illness. When you recognize the fight or flight mechanism, you can take a couple of deep breaths before acting or responding in any way. Here are 7 insights to help you manage stress. Insight number 1, remember the 3 stages of change. The first stage of change is resistance. When change affects us at a very deep level, there is always resistance. This resistance can last for a few seconds or years. The second stage is letting go or ending. In any change, there is loss. So whether the change is positive or negative, we must first make peace with the past. This often involves a time of sadness or mourning as we let go of something we once had. Rosebeth Moss Cantor, author of the book The Change Masters, says, "Every change looks like a failure in the middle. Because change is often confusing, we experience the most pain during the transition stage. Pain, loss, and confusion are leading step by step to a new beginning. The third stage is a new beginning. It is when we let go of the past that we are able to start something new. This too can be scary. It can also be enlightening, and it can be a mixture of both. When dealing with change, most of us want to begin something new immediately. But in order to manage change effectively, we must let go of the old and spend some time in the wilderness of transition. That is why having a good support system or a good support group is vital. Insight number two. Remember, this too shall pass. Look back over your life at your most stressful times. They really did pass. Use this as a mantra in your most stressful period when times seem horrible, when you think you cannot take any more stress. Write it down on a piece of paper. Put it above your computer. Carry it with you. This too shall pass. Insight number three. Ask, what do I need to change in the way I see the world? When stressful change occurs, we often blame outside circumstances for our feelings. We go blind to the importance of our reaction to change. As we already have examined, the way we interpret an event dictates how well we handle it. Ask yourself, what can I learn from this event? You will almost always realize the change has expanded you in some way. Whatever happens is an opportunity for you to grow. Maintaining perspective enables you to see the bigger picture. In this world of technology and instant communication, everyone wants a piece of you. Your family, your co-workers, your boss, your friends. You feel overwhelmed. Scope out. Get a larger picture. Years ago, I used to do a mental exercise to help people gain perspective. I had them close their eyes and imagine floating above the room, observing themselves as well as all the other people. Then they imagine floating above the building, then the town, the state, the country, the world. The point of the exercise was to train the participants to see what's happening at a distance. Perspective helps give you clarity and reduce stress. Insight number four. Use fear for energy. Change creates fear. Fear creates stress. Fear and excitement are often two sides of the same coin. I don't mean the fear that goes with someone stalking you in a dark alley. I mean perceptual fear, the fear that is caused by change and the threat of loss, the fear that is caused by venturing into the unknown. Most fear that you feel is triggered by your perception of how you are viewing a situation, not by the reality of the situation. Most people automatically try to wall off fear, suppress it, and push it away. Instead, acknowledge it and use it to your advantage. Everyone feels anxious when coping with change, but some allow that fear to defeat them. Use the word excitement instead of fear. Think of the fear as energy and excitement, and use it as fuel to do what you most desire. The next time you are frightened by a challenge or by venturing into the unknown, ask yourself, am I scared or am I excited? Ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? You may label what you feel as fear, but within that fear is excitement. Use the energy to drive you forward. Insight number five, learn the Serenity Prayer. The Serenity Prayer, used by members of Alcoholics Anonymous, can provide instant stress reduction in a number of situations. Learn it. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Insight number six, take time out. I know taking time out is difficult, Some of you may think it's impossible to take time out when there's so much to get done. Guess what? There will always be so much to get done. It's an illusion to believe the harder you work, the more you will accomplish. Research has shown that lack of sleep, lack of rest, and not taking enough time to relax will not only reduce your productivity, but will also have a negative impact on your sex life. It will impair your ability to sleep and negatively affect your decision-making and your digestive system. If you want to live a life of quality, you have to figure out a way to relax every day and take periodic vacations. Taking a 1 hour a day vacation or a 1 week vacation will boost your productivity to unimaginable heights. But what if you can't stop working? As Eric Olson writes in 12 Steps to Mastering the Winds of Change, if you have difficulty leaving your work at work, compromise. Try scheduling 3 hours of work for your first vacation day, two for the next, one for the third. Then play with a day without any work, just as an experiment. Notice how you feel. If, after the experiment, you find that you still like to work on vacation, don't beat yourself up. A change of scene will help, even if you do take work with you. So, how do you cope with stress? Do you get sick? Do you over-medicate yourself? Do you overindulge in food or alcohol? Do you work out? Do you yell at others? Do you yell at the wall? Do you do a relaxation exercise? Do you attempt to get rid of negative stress, or do you learn to live with negative stress? You can't run away from it. It reminds me of a quote attributed to Yogi Berra. No matter where you go, there you are. Stress is part of who we are. It's always there. Insight number 7, learn a relaxation exercise. I will teach you a relaxation exercise at the end of this recording. You still may be confused as how to define stress. Dr. Hans Selye defines stress as the non-specific response of the body to any demand. Lyle Miller and Almadel Smith, in their book, The Stress Solution, define stress as the state of dynamic tension created when you respond to perceived demands and pressures from outside and from within yourself. Living creates stress. The energy demanded to keep the biological system of your body functioning creates stress. In fact, energy utilization is the primary characteristic of biologic stress. Another characteristic of stress results from the demands made on us in everyday life. I walked out in the freezing cold this morning. Stress. I worked out in the gym. Stress. Almost everything creates stress. Heat creates stress, as does joy, sorrow, passion, and change. The list is endless, but the stress response is the same. Whatever the stressor, here's a very basic version of what happens in the body. Signals are sent from the brain to the body that in turn affects glands. These glands secrete hormones to cope with whatever we need to adapt to, whatever tasks need to be done. The mind-body connection is irrefutable. We are creatures made to adapt. When our body, mind, and spirit are in harmony, the results can be positive. When we are tapped out, used up, burned up, or overstressed for very long, well, the results can be devastating. Stress affects every aspect of life. If you're going to put yourself under negative stress, do it wisely. Major change creates great stress. Be willing to experience discomfort and stress when you grow, stretch, adapt, and change. I've attempted to give you a basic understanding of a very complex subject. In addition, I've given you some practical steps you can take to change the way you interpret information, thereby reducing and even eliminating stress. I would like to close by giving you a very powerful tool that not only reduces negative stress, but also can help you develop a defense against distress. This is a proactive stress reduction exercise. For many of you, this may be a new experience, so be patient with yourself. Give it a chance. Like any new skill, it will take a little time for you to learn. Not much, but a little. If you choose to practice some form of self-relaxation for a month, it will become part of your lifestyle. Some people, when doing a very deep relaxation, report experiencing strong emotions, both positive and negative. That's fine. Don't worry about it. In fact, experiencing a negative emotion while relaxing can be very helpful. By doing so, you desensitize yourself. To benefit from deep relaxation, you must practice. You might want to keep a chart to help you keep track of that practice. After 30 days, this will become part of your daily routine. You must commit to working with yourself twice a day for a month, preferably upon arising and before retiring in the evening. You may choose to devote 20 minutes per session or a minimum of 10 minutes per session. I would like you to allow me to work with you for twice a day for the first week using the recorded material. After that, you can do the relaxation exercise, if you so choose, without using this recording. Do not listen to the rest of this recording if you are driving, please. Get comfortable, shut off the phone, turn off your beeper, inform people that you're going to be left alone for a while, and then find a comfortable chair or sit or lie down on the couch or the bed. As you listen to me, you may find your mind wandering or drifting. That's okay. Notice that your attention is drifted and bring your focus back to my voice. Now you're sitting or lying down. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to take a moment with your eyes closed and just be aware of your body weight against the chair, or if you're lying down, the couch or the bed. Be aware of your environment. If there's noises outside, you can hear, whatever it is, just be aware. Be aware of the temperature of the room. I'm going to count to two. At the count of two, I want you to tense your body as much as you can. Your face, your fingers, your toes, your back, every muscle that you can tense, tense. And you'll hold it until I say relax, and then just let it go. All right? One and two. Tense the body, really tense. Make a face. Your hands, your legs, every muscle, your back, your chest. And now let it go. Good. I'm going to count to two again. And this time, I want you to take three deep breaths. And here's the way I'd like you to breathe. I'd like you to inhale through the nose, easily, deeply, and slowly, approximately to the count of four. So you take in your breath, you fill up the diaphragm. When your diaphragm is full, hold it for just a beat, and then exhale easily, deeply, and slowly. Again, approximately the count of four. Okay? One and two. Now very slowly, inhale. One, two, three, four. Hold it, and exhale. Very, very slowly. Two, three, four. Now this time, inhale through your nose. Inhale, very slowly, two, three, four. Hold it, just a couple beats. This time we'll exhale through the mouth, and exhale. Let it out slowly. Two, three, four. And one last time, inhale through your nose slowly. Fill up your diaphragm, hold it, and exhale. Good. Slowly. Good. Now, resume normal breathing. What we're going to do is called a point-by-point relaxation. I'm going to ask you to focus on certain parts of your body and relax that area in your body. Now, as we go through this, as you go through it, and I'm guiding you, you may feel a sense of lightness, or you may feel a sense of heaviness, or you may feel your eyes fluttering, or you may feel like the length of your body is growing, or there are different sensations different people have. And some people have no sensation with this. So just be aware of it. And if you lose my voice, if your mind drifts away, very gently bring your focus back to my voice. Let's start by choosing a location in your forehead. Notice the area. Become aware of your forehead. And relax your forehead. And move down to your jaw. Make sure that all the tension is out of your jaw, so your face is slack. Good. Now go to the back of the neck and choose a location on the back of your neck. And relax. Good. Choose a location in your left shoulder. Focus and relax. Your left upper arm. Choose a location. Focus and relax. Move down to your left lower arm, your forearm. Choose a location and relax. The palm of your left hand. Focus and relax. The back of your left hand. Focus and relax. Good. Your right shoulder. Choose a location and relax. Your right upper arm. Focus and relax. Your right lower arm, your forearm. Choose a location and relax. The palm of your right hand, focus and relax. And the back of the right hand, focus and relax. Both your left and your right arms totally relaxed, very limp, no tension. Good. Now move to your upper chest, your focus, and choose a location, your upper chest, and relax. Good. Your stomach. Choose a location, focus, and relax. Refocus right between your shoulder blades. Choose a location and relax. Move down your spine to the center of your back. Choose a location and relax. Good. Your lower back. Choose a location, focus, and relax. Your left hip. Choose a location, focus, and relax. Good. Move down your left leg, just in the upper thigh. Choose another location, front or back, and relax. The back of your left knee. Focus and relax. Good. Down to your left calf, and the calf muscle. Choose a location, focus and relax. The top of your left foot, focus and relax. The bottom of your left foot, focus and relax. Good. Your right hip. Choose a location and relax. Your right upper thigh. Focus and relax. the back of your right knee, focus and relax. Your lower right leg and the calf muscle, choose a location and relax. The top of your right foot, focus and relax. And the bottom of your right foot, focus and relax. Be aware of your body. If there's any other location in your body that you feel holds a little tension, focus on that location and relax. Good. I'd like you to choose a color that's relaxing to you. If you were to imagine that color as a light or an energy, and it were flowing through your body, and it was pure relaxation, make a choice. Choose a color. What would it be? Now I want you to imagine that color like a light above your head. And as I count from 10 to 1, I want you to imagine that light, that relaxation, flowing over your body from your head to your toes. Not only flowing like a blanket of relaxation, but pull the color into your body. Let your body fill with that color. 10, let it flow downwards. 9, feel it. 8, 7, let it flow in the body, replacing all tension. 6, 5, total relaxation. 4, 3, 2, 1. I want you to recall a place outdoors that's totally relaxing to you. It could be a place from your childhood. It could be a place that you go on vacation. It could be a place that you just go to get away. And make it real. If it's the ocean, I want you to smell the salt air and hear the waves. Feel the warmth of the sun on your body. Or maybe you're walking through the sand. Or perhaps it's the silence of the woods, and you look around and you see the greenery. Or maybe it's fall. Or maybe it's a meadow of flowers. Wherever it is, make it real for yourself. What do you see? What's the temperature? Is there a breeze? Is there a smell in the air? Are you alone? Are there other people around you? I want you to look up in the sky, and I want you to let that sky become blue, just blue. And then I want you to imagine white clouds appearing in that blue sky. And I'm going to count from 12 to 1 this time. And what I'd like you to do is to imagine those clouds drifting off in the distance, becoming smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until they disappear. And as those clouds become smaller, so I want you to let yourself drift deeper and deeper into relaxation. Very easy. No effort to this at all. And let the clouds begin to drift. 12. 11. 10. 9. 8, 7, 6, 5, smaller still, let yourself go, 4, 3, 2, 1, and let the clouds disappear and let yourself relax. Good. Take another deep breath. Inhale easily, deeply, and slowly. Imagine your body like a vessel filled with a bright orange liquid. That liquid is negativity, tension, and stress. Imagine that the tips of your fingers and the tips of your toes are like spigots. You open them up and imagine that orange liquid flowing out. As I start to count from 10 to 1, feel it in your body, see it leave your body. 10, 9, let the liquid begin to drain out, all that tension. 8, 7, 6, let it flow out. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, imagine those spigots closed, and imagine your body full of that color that you chose that was relaxing, the most relaxing color that you can think of. Let it fill the body. Let it fill the body. As you relax with your eyes closed, I'm going to give you a few suggestions. You don't have to work at remembering them, and later you can copy them down. Recognize that change is part of life. Change involves leaving something familiar and moving into something new, something unfamiliar. If you feel uncomfortable, unbalanced, or out of sync, it's almost always a sign of growth. To change the way you interpret information, you must be willing to experience the discomfort of change. Take heart. The payoff is always greater than the sacrifice. When you decide to make changes, don't make too many changes at once. Take it slowly. Break change down into small steps. Pace yourself slowly. Begin to notice the situations that cause you stress and the people that cause you stress. To lower your stress level, you may want to stay away from those situations or those people who place unwelcome or unreasonable demands on you. There are life diminishers and life enhancers. Choose the life enhancers. Be realistic about the expectations you place on yourself and others. Those expectations may be echoes from your past, the voices of your parents or teachers. Examine and ask the question, what do I really want? When you feel distress or fear, remember the acronym STOP. Stop and observe purposely. When your thoughts turn to the dark side, take a breath and notice your perception of what's taking place, what's happening. Challenge your assumptions of what you believe is true. In other words, be curious and check your perceptions of reality against the facts. You will often find that your perception of what you believe to be true bears little resemblance to the facts of what is true. Consider exercising. Exercise helps reduce stress, improve health, and raise self-confidence. You don't have to go to a noisy gym. Take a walk for 30 minutes a day or swim at your local YMCA. Take a yoga class or play racquetball. My wife's mini vacation is taking a hot bubble bath and reading People magazine. She assures me it works wonders. To avoid personal stress, know what it is you want to accomplish. Take time. Think it out. Develop a plan. Keep your goals within the bounds of reason. There's nothing wrong with going for the impossible, but the steps must be realistic. Have you ever watched bamboo bend in a high wind? It's a graceful sight to behold as the tall, thin stalks move and shift on the currents of air. be flexible, like the bamboo. When people or situations push you, don't push back. Take a breath. See the situation clearly. All our problems eventually resolve themselves. Take a couple more deep breaths. Inhale very slowly, easily, deeply. Big breath, fill up the diaphragm. Hold it. Exhale through the mouth, easily, deeply, and slowly. Each time you relax and practice your relaxation exercise twice a day, you're going to find that it sticks. It becomes part of you. It'll be easier to do. It will take less time to achieve that relaxed state. Twice a day, for a minimum of 10 minutes, preferably 20 minutes. You'll sit or lie down. Make sure you're not disturbed. Go through the relaxation as I've described. Soon you'll be able to close your eyes and go into this state immediately. Become aware of your surroundings, of your chair, or if you're lying down, the bed or couch, and open your eyes. I'd like to conclude by saying that the ability to enhance the quality of your life is directly related to the ability to reduce negative stress. The ability to reduce negative stress depends on the many factors I've discussed on this recording. But the most important tool in your toolkit for handling stress is your ability to relax, practice, and enjoy. I would like to thank you for listening to this program. If you would like more information on the rest of the Toolkit for the Mind series, or on our other books and tapes, call us at 1-888-562-7371, toll free. Or visit us at our website, jamesmapes.com, and take the quiz.